Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up, everybody? This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Hope everybody's having a great day. And, of course, we had the FOMC minutes, which were, of course, a big nothing yesterday. But the markets are getting to 20,000. A cast of thousands is like the circus. And as the sooner it gets over, the sooner I'll be happy. Because, again, it's just a number. It's a bunch of razzmatazz BS, but at the end of the day, that's what it is, and we'll deal with it. In the meantime, yesterday we were working on what we're looking for, and it ties in. So let's go back to yesterday's webinar and talk about what we think. And here we go.
So 113%. Okay, the highest rate reading since August of 2001. Well, does anybody remember September of 2001? And I'm not talking about the sad day, the unfortunate events that happened in September. But does anybody remember that? Okay. I mean, again, jobless claims remain low, falling from 265 to 275. Really? So we have a bunch of crappy jobs, but because we're getting more crappy jobs, should we be happy about the jobs market? I'd like to know, anybody out there, if anybody's happy about the jobs market right now. Okay. I mean, because... listen, I don't have a job. I mean, I work for myself, but I mean, I can't see it any good. I can't see when the overall population is making less money than they were, and we hear how good it is. Okay, stock buybacks. That was the big drill. That was the big driver of the market, of the rallies. They're declining, and what do you think is going to happen now with the higher interest rates? They're really going to decline. And, you know, do you buy treasuries? Do you buy gold or do you buy equities? Well, out of those three, you always buy equities. Okay. Again, as bearish as I am, you still buy equities. I mean, equities are always the place to be because that's the only chance you really have to really compound your money. Okay. You buy bonds? Yeah. I mean, bonds get rates get high enough. Sure, you buy bonds. You have to have a diversified portfolio or a completely hedged portfolio. If you're completely hedged, you're diversified by hedging it. Okay. If you're not hedged, and you should have some asset classes that don't necessarily always go in the same direction and don't have always the same effects. Okay. That's, you know, something that you have to look at. Again, I just like to be hedged because I like to compound those, and I like to just be fully in because I when they go down, I want to be able to load up and buy more. And when they go up, I want to be able to hedge higher. But again, I own everything that's in here, but the bulk of my stuff is right here in equities. So now as we run into the first week of the year, if anybody remembers last year, okay, the first week was the biggest down week in the history of the market. Biggest first week of the year down in the history of the market. Okay. Now, what does it all mean? It didn't mean anything, did it? We bottomed on February 11th. Okay. And believe it or not, I did call that too. And I had that on tape too. I could prove that. I mean, I actually did a webinar right before it, a live update. And then I went on Cavuto and called the bottom of oil and the bottom of the stock market. Okay. But I'm not doing that to brag. But what I'm saying is that, so now, it didn't mean anything. So this year, if we go down right away, it doesn't really matter. Again, if you remember the one thing and the one fact about markets, they're predisposed to go higher anyways, because there is always money flowing into the market from pension funds if they're making their contributions they're supposed to, which so far lately they haven't been, but IRAs, 401ks, all those things. That's why dull markets typically go higher. Let me get some questions on the board here. Why do you think the bull market in bonds is over? I believe that the overall manipulation of the Federal Reserve is over. I believe that my personal, this is just opinion. I have no factual evidence here, but in my opinion, Janet Yellen is going to resign. In my opinion, somebody that will be appointed will not be a dove that just believes in the Keynesian theory of economics. You know, both theories, you know, there's more than two, but the two prevailing theories are, you know, Austrian or Western and Keynesian. Okay, one is built on supply, one's built on demand, but one believes you just fail and you let it happen and you let the markets take care of it, and the other is you get government involvement, which is what we have. I don't think that that's the proper way. Now, again, they both have their flaws. I think there's probably a good mix somewhere in there. But at the end of the day, manipulated markets are, as I said in 2009, you cannot borrow your way out of debt. I think that does come back to haunt you. And really what it has done is it's made the value of your dollars worth a lot less. I think that I was making more money in 1976 in comparison to what I had to spend, in comparison to how I lived, than I am now. Okay? But the numbers are not even close. But the overall cost of goods, everything else, was much different. There wasn't, the dollar actually had a little bit more value, but based on charts, the dollar has been getting clobbered since 1913. So, that's why. Yeah, all waiters and bartenders, nothing wrong with that. But we need some real jobs. And it's up to us what we need to change the mindset of the community to be business-minded. Well, it's up to the government to quit doling out the entitlements. And, you know, look, I'm a big fan of helping those who need it. Okay? I have no problem helping people that are in true need, you know, disabled, veterans, people that really can't work, you know. But what I'm not happy with is how much of my money and your money goes to help people sit home and get high and drink, okay, go to the racetrack on my money. And how many people that are not even citizens in this country that are collecting entitlements because they figured out how to beat the system. Okay, you know, look, the system is not that hard to beat if you have a mind that works that way, because all you have to remember is that we paid $10,000 for toilets that were probably worth $50. Okay, you know, it's the same when you go to a hospital and you pay $37 for an aspirin. All right, they can get it; they're going to charge it. So, and people have figured out how to beat the system, and they get these checks all the time. That's why one of the reasons there's no money is because people have figured out how to beat it. I'm 100% with you on that. Thank you. I appreciate it. I agree. Yeah. Okay. So sad because people will never fulfill their promise. Well, that's, you know, again, we've got a lot of bad things that happen, and, you know, we just have to deal with it. But again, that's where we need to be taken and moved to the next step forward, which is why, again, I go back to that the United States is the biggest corporation in the world and should be run like one. That's all. Again, I'm not looking for major change, and I'm not, listen, I'm a more in the middle kind of guy than I am as far right as I do sound, and I'm not making excuses. I don't care.
And I don't care, and I'll get more of that when we get back for the break, but the United States is a corporation, and I don't care what anybody says, and that's what I get tired of. Well, there's not, they don't have experience, they don't have this, they don't have that. That's a bunch of crap, and I can't take it anymore, and it's pissing me off. Let's go. This is a business. Let's run it like one so that we don't have all the freeloaders running around. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I'm a happy guy. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and make sure that you go to my station, libertytalk.fm, where you get all your news, everything you need, and The Bubba Show. You get to download it every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekend and all the other great content provided there. And also check out bubbatrading.com. A lot of good stuff up there, and you know me, I like to rip, and I either by voice or by pen, I go for it. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back. Welcome back, Cotter. I don't know, is that anything? Welcome back, Bubba. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, we are talking nonsense and stuff and all the crap that goes on. It's funny. I was riding in the car yesterday, and my son says to me, he goes, "Do you have to keep talking about the same crap every single day?" And I go, "Well, there you go. That's the size of it." But let's get back to the webinar. Here we go. Here's what we're talking about. And I wasn't making any excuses. I am kind of a middle guy, but I think that I need this to be run like a business. Here we go.
But, I mean, the thing that makes me more right is, you know, I don't like all the there's too many issues involved. But overall, I just want the best person to do the best job. And, you know, the way we have it, you know, when too many people, like Bernie Sanders, for example, or President Obama, and this is not a cut of Obama, but neither one of those two gentlemen ever had a job in their life other than in the government. Okay. They never had to go work and earn or make a payroll to a company. Okay. They never had to do things like that. And I think that that is the problem, that we need to be able to work through these things. Okay. But I don't like too far off topic because I could talk about this stuff forever. Phil, term limits are right. Let me get to the non-political questions. Do we really know 1% of the people are gaming the system? We don't have the number, but I'll tell you what. I'll bet you a lot of money, okay, that it's a much bigger number than any of us think it is. I mean, I happen to know a bunch myself. I'm not going to get into the who they are or what they do, but I know a bunch of people, okay, from that don't live in Chicago that I used to do some business with in some of the other companies that I owned, and none of them worked. They always had a pocket full of cash and brand new cars, and I know they were getting checks from the government. They weren't even citizens of the United States. Okay, so I'm not going to get any farther with that. We'll move on from there. There are a zillion gamers in California. Yep, West Coast, big for that. How do we read the VIX chart to determine when volatility is good for level trading? That's a great question. If we take a look at the VIX chart, okay, this is not good trading time down here, okay? This is at its lows. The 20-year, oh, here, I don't have to, the 20-year moving average on the VIX is about 20%. Right now we're trading at 11%. Now, what we need is a rising VIX, and it doesn't only have to be in the VIX, as we know it, the VIX, but it could also be volatility in the indexes, okay? So if we look at the Dow, let me change this because this is too long of a chart. Okay. Here, see how small these days are? Look at the light action here. Now, we know it was a holiday, but you see how narrow that is in here? There's no price volatility either. We need days like this, okay? Not like this. These are torture to trade unless you're just either buying or just selling, okay? Now, I don't do that from a trading standpoint because it's not the right thing to do it. And the other thing you know is you're not getting enough follow through. What you need to see is you need to have days that have more price volatility, like here. See, these are days you make money on, okay? Because you're getting swing back and forth, okay? These are days you might get barbecued. There's no action. This is what we need. We need price volatility back in the market, but because of the Fed and a couple of the other things, it made it much more challenging because everybody knew that it could only go so far before somebody would open their mouth, which if you remember, the last time there was ever a rate cut, they sent out 4 or 5 of the Fed governors, leaving the biggest dub for last just in case, and of course she did deliver. How is the sequestration of $1 trillion from the federal budget in March? Ah, good question. It means that right now this could change with Trump. Okay. Now, I do have a theory about these debt ceilings and the sequestration, all this crap. And I believe that they only closed the government once for a couple hours or a day, whatever it was. But they're not really closing it. I mean, they just didn't, you know, they didn't pay anybody. Okay. But at the end of the day, all right, the Republicans and Democrats are like, I'm willing to bet serious cash that these jackasses go into a room together, light up a cigar, have a bottle of scotch and say, how are we going to stick it to the American people once again? Because you know they're not shutting it down. Okay. So they're going to print more money. That's what they always do. They'll figure out a way. And this could be the one time now with a true business guy in place that could actually throw a curve here. And, you know, again, does it matter what they do with our bond level? No. Does it matter what our debt rating is? No. What do you think? People are going to stop doing business with the United States of America, the biggest economy by 4 times? They're not. We're not Venezuela. Okay, we're not Greece. We are the most powerful nation in the world. People are not going to stop, even if our bond rating drops a little bit, because Trump stood up. I know a guy from Brew had a mortgage, car loan, a huge credit card, and yeah, all things unpaid, of course, naturally. Okay, the Vex I got. So savvy. Okay. Man, you guys are too fast for me. How much will debt fall with taxes, revenue going down, and infrastructure going up? Well, I mean, again, the tax base will come from someplace else. You know, that's the difference. You know, everybody goes, well, you lower taxes, how are we going to survive? Well, if you lower taxes and you create more spending, that brings in revenue from the other side. Okay? It brings in other types of tax revenue. So it's not quite, you know, depending on what side of the aisle you want to fight for, okay, less taxes from corporations, first of all, allows more companies to open, okay, because of the regulation and taxes. It will bring some companies back. I mean, you know, Apple wasn't paying much tax here because the rate was too high. Well, you know, so we were getting zero of the $1 trillion, the $1 billion a year they were paying in taxes. Versus now, if we get 500 million of the billion they're supposed to pay, is that better than nothing? And I would have to say yes. But it does work its way out. I mean, when you get what they call the velocity of money that flows from pocket to pocket, that takes care of itself. Okay? And that's what we don't have. We have no velocity of money right now. Right now, if you look at the model from the top down, the rich, and I mean the real rich, not the ones that are rich on paper, but the real rich, which is why they benefit so much in these times. Why? Well, because they don't change their lifestyle. Do you think that they cut back when the market was collapsing? No, they did the same thing. The other. In fact, not only did they cut back, they probably overextended and kept buying more assets because that's when the rich get richer. The entitled, they spend every dime they get, no matter what the amount is, no matter what the economy is doing. So who got hurt? The middle class, because the middle class was not working. Because they couldn't spend. So the entire economy suffered for those reasons. And if you don't get spending, if you don't get what they call the velocity of money, you have nothing. It kills your tax base. It kills everything. So if what Trump is trying to do, and, you know, again, I've written to them and said, hey, you're nuts. You know, they think they're getting 4% growth next year. They're out of their mind. There's no chance they get 4% growth next year. I'll sell 2.5 right now for everything I own. Okay, unless there's a phony soybean deal to China again. But I mean, I'm talking about real growth. Okay, but if I'm making more money and I'm spending more money, then the person I'm spending it to, he's spending more money. So we're all paying taxes in some way, shape, or form, and it turns everything around. So we actually increase, because now you get more people on the working payroll. I mean, think about it now. Let's say we have 1 million people. I'll be throwing out that number. And let's say, In our case, 700,000 are working at minimum wage, okay, and then the rest. All right. Well, now, if you get the velocity of money going back, well, the you have 1 million people working, but now there's only 200,000 working at minimum wage. So you're getting more money just because you have better opportunities. Corporations don't pay taxes. They pass on. Well, we pay everything. That's the.
And we'll get back to what we have to pay after the break, but remember, libertytalk.fm will get you the download of the Bubba Show every single day. We got to get to 1 million this year. That's our goal. So we got to get there and load those machines up. We got to have like the voting machines in Chicago. Now, I'm going to get legitimate. I want to get 1 million downloads this year. Per month. Let's go. Let's step it up. Anyway, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Go to BubbaTrading.com and check out what we're doing. We just started our new hedge class last night. Awesome. It's, again, listen, it's got one thing to do. It's to protect your money, protect your assets. And that's what I like to do. I like to teach. I like to share. And I've been very fortunate, so I like to share with everybody. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're going to step out of here for break, and we'll come back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, coming right back to you after the commercial break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, I never end. I'm continually on top of the what's going on, and of course, I eat, drink, and sleep this stuff. But again, I like to share it with you and bring it to you, so let's go back to the webinar. Here we go.
Beauty, we pay everything. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Again, that has nothing to do with the market, so we had to get away from all this stuff, but I will continue just a little bit longer. There's no trade I can put on because I can't predict the market for the next 28 days. Again, I would love to tell you, look, if I were going to gamble, I would either gamble, and we might do some of this. I mean, I'm not going to do anything this week because this week figures to be another slow week because the way the holiday fell this year with a Sunday week, kids didn't get out of school until December 23rd. So most of the big traders with families are still gone. Next week, okay? I expect next week to be very quiet. Now, if you want to gamble a little bit, if you're going to gamble in this market here to a side, you can only gamble to the short side of the general markets because we're already up at the upper end of the bands. Where are we going? Now, again, we can go higher. I'm not saying they won't go higher, but if you're saying, hey, I got to get involved, then you would look at potentially looking for a short. And I will look for something that I think will be safe. In other words, if we can get in without much risk, I would consider trying to put one on. Somebody actually recommended an inside-outside in IWM, and they put it on, and they're doing well with it right now. But again, it's something that we'll look for potentially in a little bit. Is there a report that indexes the velocity of money? You can look at the BLS. They may have something on it. It's more, but you can see by the spending, you know what's going on. I would like to hear more on how to hedge my account. I can send you, email me, and I'll send you a recording that I did on hedging. Okay, so let's get back to the other business now. Let's get back to work. All right, so we did have some questions coming in, and of course, just finished watching a recording day trading webinar. You mentioned not to trade currency. Does that include currency futures? I noticed Euro and BP, or British Pound, were on your list of tradable instruments. Is that because of the potential for a vacuum on news on an event like we had with the Swiss last year? Thanks and Happy New Year. No, I didn't say not trade currencies. What I said is don't trade Forex currencies because they're crooked. Okay? They're crooked. They're not leveraged. I mean, they're not backed by an exchange. And again, I always say the same thing. When a bank is willing to take both sides of your trade, how good can the trade be? Okay, when you can open an account for $20, what kind of trade do you think you're making? Hi, Bubba. Someone in one of your books, you said you don't like iron condors. Why is it? As you well know, there are a few advisors around that claim iron condors are the safest way to trade. Could you please explain your disagreement with that? Of course I can. I think iron condors trying to sell out ridiculously far, trying to play the probability, okay? You know, if you're not aware, okay, options are a probability model. So many of the so-called advisors or geniuses, they love to do this trade. First of all, it's easy, okay? Now, so let's say we go to January 6th, and so we're going to do an iron condor, all right? Iron Condor. So now they won't go this near. Now, see, this trade I would do, okay, because it's I got 40 cents worth of risk. I got no problem with that, okay? But, of course, they're not doing that. They're going out to the high probability, so they're going to go out. Where are we at now? 22.38. The expected move this week is 30 points. So the call side, I'll sell the 22.70, and I'll buy the 22. I did it backwards. I'll make this a 70. I'll make this the 80. And then downside, so 10. So we'll go to 22. So we'll buy the 2200 even and sell the 2210. Okay. So now I've kept the expected move in play. So I'm going to collect $2.20. But I've got $10 worth of risk. Okay. 780. So I'm to make 220, I'm risking $780. To me, that does not work into my mathematical computations. I've yet to see anybody make money on a regular basis trading iron condors like this or farther out and not go broke first and not get eaten up by all the fees and things that go with it. Okay. Again, it doesn't work that way because I don't care what the probability is based on the model. The impossible happens once a month and the improbable happens once a week. And I can't tell you over the years how many guys I watched go bust doing what I call the condor shuffle, okay, trying to continue to squeeze out nothing. And you never get to take advantage of a big move in your direction because there's never a move in your direction. You're just sweating every night waiting for it not to go above. And then you try to adjust. And then you end up paying the broker more commission. So even if you make money in a year, you've paid the broker more than you made, and you're one trade away from blowing out. That's why I don't like iron condors. Again, we can debate the issue. If you have unlimited amounts of capital, then you can play them because eventually you'll wear them down. But if you don't, you know, if you're selling at 18 cents for every dollar of credit, if you're getting 18 cents of credit for every dollar of risk, you're going to blow out. Okay, with expenses and everything else, there's no chance, in my opinion. Now, I would never trade those things, and I had all the edges in the world to be able to do it, and I wouldn't do it because it's not a mathematical, it's not a high enough probability for me to be able to make a living because I've got to expose, to make any money, I've got to expose too much money. And then I'm always sitting there sweating and waiting, and I'm not safe until they close. Okay? So to me, I watched a guy, I'll give you one quick story. I watched a guy that did this for a living, okay, drove a Rolls Royce, wore a fur coat. I don't put anything into that, but I mean he was a big obnoxious person. One Friday we had expiration and the markets closed and we all, you know, walked up to go to the office, and of course it was such a busy day that the computers couldn't keep up with the volume. And the index was still ticking, and it happened to be the OEX 155, believe it or not. And he was short a gazillion 155s. And, of course, by the time we got upstairs, the index had gone from 153 to 154.90. And by the time they actually got everything counted, it was 157. Okay, and he was broke and outselling his Rolls Royce. That's why I don't do these things, because, again, it's not – the probabilities don't lie within – the advantage to the trader doing them, because you're paying the fees to do these trades. You know, I don't want to do four legs if I have a limited amount of profit that I can make. I'll do four legs a lot if I have unlimited potential. If I have limited, why do I want to continue to try to do that? That's why you have to worry. That's why my rule is, and if you read my book, is you got to get 40% approximately credit, because the model, if you're a 65% favorite to cash, so if you get 40%, you're in good shape over time. Where was I? I would like to get hedging recording. I did. If you want the hedging recording, send me an email. I will send it out today, I promise. On the TOS platform, have you ever used the probability toucher? I don't use anything. Again, to me, this is a bunch of crap, okay? It does not work. All right. You have to, you can play with it all you want, but you're gonna have to take my word for it. Okay. A, when a platform cannot tell you your risk from when you cross over strikes over series or serials, what does that tell you? That what's it going to tell me? It doesn't do you any good. Okay, that's the problem. If you think that any of this is worth crap, it isn't. Okay, I'm giving you the best. I'm telling you to learn it and understand it yourself because the math is simple. Okay, there's nothing fancy about what they're giving you here. You can do it yourself and not have to depend on them because their stuff is not nobody's stuff. It's not just them. It's all a bunch of garbage. Okay, again, I'm a simple guy. Okay, high school educated. It's all garbage because it doesn't work. If it worked, then we'd be trading automatically. Okay, you have to be able to understand how the market functions. That's my point. And I don't want, you know, I want to be able to hit the home runs and keep grinding out money. I don't want to keep getting home runs hit against me.
And that is where we'll leave that today. This is the story. You know, again, if you can't analyze yourself and understand where your risk is, then you need to do a little bit better job at your education and trading. Okay. I'm not saying that you can't use a tool, but again, if you cannot figure out risk on your own, then you're really looking for trouble because when you do trades that cross over, you have to understand how they work and where that risk model falls into play. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. And of course, to download me every single day in the Sporting Edge on the weekends, you go to libertytalk.fm and you can download the show every single day as well as listen to a bunch of the other great content that is right there at Liberty Talk at your fingertips for you. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Hard. We're going to step out here a break and come back with Marlon Bowling from RFD Radio, or actually Rural Rally Radio, RFD TV. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Hard. We'll be right back after the break.
Song was written by Fred Ebb and John Kander.
They interview me, Rural Rally Radio, with Marlon Bowling. And, of course, I like to always get you guys my thoughts because you get to see what I was thinking before the market. This was Wednesday morning. Here we go.
Well, it's this time around. It's Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Todd, how you doing?
Good morning, Marlon. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Happy New Year to you and our radio audience here on Rural Radio. So glad to have you aboard. A little higher tone here on the grain markets overnight. Not by much, but at least it's firmer.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely a little bit higher. I think, you know, on sale, though, soybeans at $9.99, right? $10 is a crucial spot. You know, I think that $9.90 held support. We got a little bounce off of that. But if we can't get through 10 and stay above, I think we see lower prices. And that's sad for today. But I think overall, I think that it's going to be a very, very good year for our farmers and producers. And I think that we're going to have a big year, and I think there's going to be a lot more demand. I think we're going to get a lot of things squared up. So I'm pretty excited about the year, but I do expect some selling here in the near term.
Now, that's interesting. Why do you say that? Is that because so many people are so bullish on the soybeans?
No, I think that I look at it from a standpoint of I think that there's going to be money flowing in from other sources. I think that the dollar is going to weaken. I think that we're going to be able to combat all the things that have held us kind of in check. Although, you know, last year wasn't a horrible year, considering we started the year at 850 and ended at, you know, at over 10. But at the end of the day, I think we're going to see a lot of things that are going to be bullish, and the things that have been bad news for the last couple of years, I think are going to get finally resolved out with the new president and a lot of new things that he's looking to do.
Okay, the corn market just a penny higher. We have had really outstanding ethanol production here lately. With the higher crude oil market that we have had over the past month or so now, do you think the corn is on pretty firm footing, at least with that supporting?
I think that, you know, corn has been, you know, fairly steady, but, you know, obviously lower. I think 345 is the key number in March corn to hold. I think when you look at the crude space, you know, this is a little bit of a quirky market right now in combined with corn. I mean, you know, we're seeing higher prices in crude, but I think those are artificially driven there right now. I think you've got too many people trying to convince the world that OPEC's going to cut supply, which they're not. We have plenty of supply here. I think we're going to see oil itself come significantly lower still. I mean, I'm not giving up on my original target. I think that you've got a lot of issues here, and I think a lot of this is more artificial and driven by manipulation versus driven by actual supply demand.
Are you still a believer in the wheat trade as we move into 2017 here?
I am. I'm a big believer in wheat, and I think that wheat is going to be higher. I think wheat will be, in my opinion, the best performer this year. I think that, again, that'll go a lot down back to the weaker dollar, which I'm expecting. It will go back down to the world economy. It'll go down to a lot of the things that we're going to see handled by the administration, which will free up capital, allow us to do a little bit more things than we've been able to do in the past 8 years.
So you think it's going to be able to break its shackles to the corn market then?
I do. I think that, you know, the typical spread forever was always about, wheat a dollar over corn. And, you know, we've been now in this range, we've been like around 40, 50 cents over corn. I think that that will break it. I think we'll get back to that dollar over number.
All right. Well, Todd, I'll bring you back here in a little bit. You talked about the outside markets, the global markets, and I do want to touch on that a little bit, along with our livestock trade, how it closed yesterday. It surprised a few folks. We're going to be back talking with Todd Bubba Horwitz in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Lots of information coming right up. Another commodity wrap on a Wednesday morning. Feels like a Tuesday, but it is a Wednesday morning. Second trading day of 2017. Thanks for joining us. I'm Marlon Bowling. Zach Troutman is our producer engineer running the board today. On the phone, we have Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. And I see where the crude oil market, after trading flat during the nighttime session, looks like it firmed up a little bit here this morning. The U.S. dollar is a little lower, though, overnight. So maybe taking a bit of a breather here. We're under 103 now, apparently.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at crude, it's been a little while, but I will call a key reversal in, from a technical pattern yesterday, made a new high and then closed on its low of the days. And this morning we're up about 50 cents, and now we're just back almost around flat if you look at live up to date. And, of course, the dollar, I think, another item of, you know, more of a short covering squeeze of people that were trying to sell dollars, assuming that all the news was going to be in. And I think they got trapped, as often happens when we get too overweight on one side of the market. And I think the dollar is going to start coming significantly lower as well.
You do. Okay. This crude oil market, we've been talking about that at length. You know, at one point, I know you were talking about waiting for it to get down in the 40s. That was before OPEC decided to have a meeting, and that kind of blew that to smithereens. What's the outlook now? Of course, now we're finally into the production cut time frame, and that seemed to be what boosted that market up yesterday morning. But as you mentioned, it made that reversal yesterday. Is that the peak of it now?
Well, I'm still looking for 40, believe it or not. I think,
really?
Obviously, we're not going to go straight to 40. You know, these markets get a lot of artificial drive. They've got, you know, I mean, if you think about it, what does OPEC really mean, number one? Are they really going to cut? And I will bet anybody that nobody will cut, and they'll all be oversupplying anyways. And if prices get a little bit higher, we're going to come back online here and put out more, because we're not part of OPEC. We don't use OPEC oil, basically. We are basically self-sufficient on oil. So I think you're going to see lower prices coming down the pike. I think we're getting much anticipation as to what the new administration can do in the immediate term. I mean, if I knew we were going to get all this new production, all this new manufacturing, I'd say, hey, there's a good chance we'll stay up here, and I'll change my mind. But we're not going to get all these things done in the first 100 days or the first 6 months or maybe even the first 2 years. So there's a lot of anticipation on good things happening, which I do believe will happen, but they cannot happen as fast as the markets are predicting them right now.
Well, there are a lot of those wells just kind of sitting idle in the Bakken formation, I think possibly in the Permian Basin in Texas as well. So, I believe it used to be they said the break even on that would be maybe $50 or so to where they would kick them back in again. So we'll have to wait and see if they do crank that back up again. It could throw a little cold water on that oil market here heading into 2017. We'll wait and see. Your thoughts on this cattle trade yesterday, where we had it turning around, going lower on the live cattle market. Well, I guess it followed through to the downside, but the lean hogs definitely turned around and really kind of crashed and burned on the nearby contracts. How hazardous is that?
Well, I think they're going lower. As you know, I talked yesterday on air. I think that we're going to see some lower prices here. I think I felt that the hogs had, maximum 1-2% more to the upside.
But I was looking for some pretty good selling, and I think we're going to see that. Now, again, I will be looking to be a buyer on pullbacks later. I think there's some work that has to be done. I think that we got a little bit too far ahead of ourselves, and I kept thinking that there was some kind of news going to come out that would make me think that. But as it turns out, there really isn't. I mean, people were banking on Mexico and China buying. But what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is that there's actually going to be a lot more supply than we think there's going to be. And I think there's going to be some issues which will bring prices lower. But I think once we get there, I think then you'll see new money come in and we'll see them push up again. But I do see some selling as well in the cattle markets. I mean, I think that we're going to see, you know, if we look at Feb fats, I think that, you know, 110 or so is really my first target comes back in, you know, 112, somewhere in that area, I think we pull back down to. And I think we could go a little bit lower than that. But then again, I'd be looking for an area to step in and buy.
On the hogs, don't you consider that to be a key reversal? We made new six-month highs, took out the highs from about 2 weeks ago, and it closed lower than the range from the previous session.
Yes, I would consider that to be a key reversal. I did miss that, and thanks for pointing it out. But, yeah, no, I would consider that a key reversal. That is known as a key reversal from a technical pattern. Now, we'll see if it does have the ability to follow through, and the key follow-through would be a slightly higher opening this morning that immediately gets sold into once again. And that's something when you watch chart patterns and they start to change, you look for the opposite of what's going to happen on the opening usually. So if we get a little bit of a few buyers up in this morning, that would mean bargain hunters, we want to sell right into that and look for them to go lower again.
All right. Well, Todd, always great to visit with you, and thanks for helping us kick things off here in 2017 on the radio side here. Now, you have this website called BubbaTrading.com, and I assume anybody that goes to that can find out how to contact you on there too, right?
Absolutely. They can come and get me and learn and get some a lot of good information I like to put out, and everybody have a great day, and take care. Thank you so much.
Very good. Thanks, Todd. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. Don't forget, BubbaTrading.com is the website. Great resource for terrific information related to the markets. We'll be back.
Listen to Marlin. Don't forget BubbaTrading.com, but also don't forget LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every day. In the meantime, we did run out of time. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Good
night. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.